I read, after these things, I thought, is this the fourth year of his reign or somewhere near the end of the third year of his reign? Then I begin to read through the chapter until I came to verse 16 of chapter 2, where it says that Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus to his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Ah, so 4 years have gone by in between chapters 1 and 2. But then I wondered what happened during those 4 years. You're wondering right too. So let's take a little history. Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes, reigned from 485 to 465 BC. So the events of chapter 1 must have happened in 483, because that was the third year of his reign. And the events of chapter 2 must have occurred in 479, which was 7 years into his reign. History books tell us that during that time, this particular king made an ambitious but disastrous attempt to conquer Greece. So, after these things means that these events took place after he had led an expedition against Greece and returned home to Susa in defeat. Picture it. Ahasuerus enters the tall, gilded palace doors, weary from battle, dispirited by defeat. He longs for someone to greet him with arms outstretched, someone who will offer words of comfort and understanding. Not just a servant or one of his officers eager to please the king, but someone who truly cares for him and his feelings. Perhaps for the first time, this monarch knows true defeat and loneliness. With all these things that have been happening, his anger against Vashti is long since forgotten. He remembers only her beauty, the warmth of her arms, the comfort of her understanding. With his spirits at this low ebb, he goes into a period of depression. Apparently, those closest to him recognize what has happened and seek to remedy it. Then the king's attendants who served him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king." Esther chapter 2, verse 2. His servants see something happening to their master. He's moping around. He's depressed. What would cheer him up? Aha! Now, the point is not that Ahasuerus simply needed a woman. If he was like other ancient monarchs, he had a harem full of women. Besides that, he had the power to have any woman in the kingdom. With a snap of his finger, she'd be in his presence, right there in his bedchamber. But he's not looking for a one-night encounter. He wants a wife, someone to be near him through it all, someone who would be his companion, someone who really cares long-term. You see, he's not drunk any longer. He's thinking clearly now, and his own needs were intensified by his loneliness. Whether he recognized this initially, or whether it came at the suggestion of his servants, the outcome is the same. They put forth the mandate. And let the king appoint overseers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather every beautiful young virgin to Susa, the capital, to the harem, into the custody of Hegai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let their cosmetics be given them. Then let the young lady who pleases the king be queen in place of Vashti. And the matter pleased the king, and he did accordingly. Esther chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This plan would not only get a wife for the king, but would assure that she was the most beautiful woman in Persia. We'll comb all 127 provinces, and we'll bring in every beautiful young virgin we find. We'll even let them enhance that beauty with cosmetics. In fact, notice what it says a few verses later. Now when the turn of each young lady came to go into the King Ahasuerus, after the end of her 12 months under the regulations for the women, for the days of their beautification were completed as follows: 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with spices and the cosmetics for women. Esther chapter 2, verse 12. Look at that. It took an entire year for them to prepare these women to be presented to the king. That's a lot of oil of Olay and Lancome, ladies and gents. C.F. Kiel of the Kiel and Delitzsch commentaries helps us understand that these words mean to rub, to polish, signifies purification and adornment with all kinds of precious ointments. In other words, they spent a year preparing these women, polishing up their outward appearance to enhance their physical beauty. Interesting, isn't it? In a relatively short period of time, one's outer beauty can be enhanced, but the cultivation of beauty within, there's no shortcut. Suddenly, while the harem is cosmetic city and the king is thinking about the Miss Persia beauty pageant, an incredible chain of events begins to transpire. Introduced by another of those little transitional phrases we could easily overlook, now there was a Jew in Susa. An unknown old man and an obscure young woman. Let's step outside the palace and see what's happening elsewhere while God's hand prepares to move the heart of the king like a channel of water. Now there was a Jew in Susa, the capital, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite,